All right, City Council, come back from recess. I need Commissioner Leonard here.
Are you going to invite them to sit? No. If you want me to, just so we can address our comments.
Could I have the chair of the Portland Development Commission and the president of Portland State University, the best urban university? Hey, look at who's here. The best urban university in the United States.
Certainly in the county.
Hey.
Had to get that in for one of our partners.
But with one of the best faculty members in the county, is that what you
have? That's, there you go. Is someone going to retrieve?
Yes, they have.
Commissioner Leonard. Well, how's retirement life?
Busy.
Really? What are you teaching?
Public budgeting.
That's a hard one.
Can I sit on that?
And let's see. That's a what level course?
Master's.
So 700, 600, whatever that is. Are they good? Yeah. All right. City Council, will come back from recess. We'll begin with going through the votes, items 537 and 538. Can you please read the titles?
537, approve the Education Urban Renewal Plan, and 538, authorize intergovernmental agreement with the Portland Development Commission, Multnomah County, and Portland State University to fund a development for co-location within the education urban renewal area.
And if I could just ask my colleagues, let's save our comments till after the vote on 538, and we'll allow you to comment on both. Can you please call the vote on 537?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman? Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
No.
Thanks.
Adams?
Aye. 537 is approved. Can you please call the vote for item 538?
Fish?
Well, I want to begin this afternoon's discussion by acknowledging the folks who brought us to this point. President Bivel is with us, sitting at the dais. The president, chair of the Portland Development Commission, Scott Andrews, executive director, and his very capable team. Folks in the mayor's office, Mayor Adams, and my colleagues. This has been a fascinating discussion for me to participate in the formation of a new urban renewal district. And I think the debate has been robust and provocative and, frankly, highly informative. And I appreciate hearing from all the voices that brought us to this point. For me, however, this comes down to a question of balance. And I see at least three compelling reasons for us to move ahead with this proposal today. First, it supports the work and mission of Portland State University, which is a great public urban university in our backyard. And I believe all of us up here would agree that one of the keys to our future prosperity as a city and region is a healthy and dynamic Portland State University. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that, in part, what we are doing today is offering our strong endorsement for the leadership of Dr. Bivel, who, in my opinion, and the opinion of the mayor and my colleagues, has taken this urban university to the next level. For me, that's the first and most compelling reason to support this district. The second is that in creating this district and over the life of the district, we will set aside millions of dollars to address an affordable housing crisis in our community focused on downtown. By some estimates, we may have as much as $46 million over the life of the district. Guided by our 30% set aside and the commitment to work with our partners and to listen to the public, we intend to make wise decisions with that money, focusing on people who are left out of the market, but frankly also looking for opportunities to marry affordable housing in a unique district in proximity to a great university. As someone who is now over the half-century mark, the idea of sometimes in the future living in an affordable home that's adjacent to a world-class university has some great appeal. We have, of course, committed to being collaborative and transparent in the decisions we make, as always. And this fall, we will begin a public conversation, a community conversation, to establish some basic framework and guidelines that we will use to make funding decisions going forward. And the third compelling reason, and one that I think is important both procedurally and substantively, and to this in this regard, I tip my hat to both Mayor Adams and Commissioner Leonard, who have a much deeper history in this area than I do. This is a unique and perhaps the first example of a truly collaborative formation of a district where other taxing jurisdictions have joined with us to form the district and establish some priorities. And I believe it is very much in the spirit of the deal that was struck in Salem that both Portland Public Schools, Multnomah County, the city, and the university have come forward and said this is a good idea. That is exactly what was intended, and this is the first and most conspicuous example of that kind of collaboration. So, to those who say that urban renewal is not the perfect tool, I think we could agree with that. I don't know that we have a perfect tool. Tax abatements are a tool. They're not a perfect tool. Tax increment financing is a tool. It is not a perfect tool. We all wish we had more general fund dollars. That's not likely to happen in the near term. The ultimate question is, are we prepared to make some critical investments, targeted investments in our community to grow family wage jobs, create prosperity so that down the road, the pie is bigger for everybody? And are we willing to make those tough decisions today for a better tomorrow? That's what it comes down to. I respect the arguments on all sides of this, but I have concluded that on balance, this district and the formation of this district is in the best interests of the city as a whole. And so today, I proudly cast my vote aye.
Leonard?
As I mentioned last week, the state of Oregon, through a series of ballot initiatives, has literally slowly strangled the public school system. And when I say that, I mean kindergarten through the eighth grade, up through high school, community colleges, and its universities. We have, rightly or wrongly, become overly reliant on the income tax to fund public education in Oregon, as property tax have been limited to fund education. The creation of this urban renewal area, and I'm glad Lindsay DeRoche is here because she had a huge part in making this happen, so I'm glad to see her in the audience. The creation of this urban renewal area does two things. It creates short-term jobs, construction jobs, for the development of the projects that have been identified, and two, creates long-term investment that will increase the value of the district beyond what it otherwise would be, bringing more property tax revenues to local government and schools. But more importantly, I think, attracting jobs here because of the investments that the university has made and will continue to make based on research and development and cooperation as other universities around the country have experienced. And this is a natural, wonderful partnership between the city and Portland State University that on a variety of levels I am not only proud of, but particularly proud to have been a part of on a number of levels. And I think that this is another one of those examples that is becoming increasingly harder in our political world. And it's to my dismay where we have people of vision, Mayor Adams, Dr. Pavel, and certainly Chair Andrews, who bring together the not only the experience and the depth of knowledge required to see what this kind of investment can bring to us in the future, but are willing to actually stand up and say so politically and publicly and take the political heat for it. My role here is pretty easy. All I have to do is vote. But I have been involved in the creation of projects, and I have been involved in the creation of a number of issues that have been subject to some public debate. So I appreciate where you find yourself, but I also recognize that without leaders like the three of you, Portland wouldn't be where it is today. And I predict with the fruition of this urban renewal area will be even greater in the future. So I tip my hat to you, and I wish I could do more than just vote yes, but that's my role here today. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, everybody who's worked so hard on this for so long. And I, of course, support higher education, especially the unique opportunity that PSU offers, being already the largest university in the state and the only urban university in the state. Truly, PSU does live up to its vision, its mission, and the motto of let's knowledge serve the city. And I appreciate all the partnerships and the economic development that Portland State University is already bringing to our city. And I understand the benefits to this university and agree with President Vivel when he said that to be competitive in a global economy, the metropolitan area needs to be more innovative, more creative, and more entrepreneurial. School funding issues for both higher education and K-12 education continue to be exacerbated by Measure 54750, as Commissioner Leonard has so helpfully outlined. The legislature refuses to act to resolve the inequities and the recurring shortfalls, and that is perhaps the basis of why this measure is necessary or in the eyes of some. I am tired of the Portland citizens and taxpayers correcting that problem for the whole of the state as well as for our region. There's certainly plenty of value for each of the stakeholders in this urban renewal district. There's the obvious value for PSU with additional money for both private and public construction projects. There's a value for Portland Public Schools to have money to rebuild a school and stimulate private development on that property. There's value for the county that they will get a human services building and then a reduction on rental cost and a heightened campus relationship with Portland State University. There's an incentive for the city that gets $46 million for affordable housing in a needed location in the city for that purpose. And there's an incentive for the Portland Development Commission, not only furthering its mission of development of business, but also $24 million in administrative staffing and overhead costs. There are compelling reasons to support a regional university like Portland State University, specifically Portland State University, the synergistic aspects of this school with Oregon Health and Science University, the business innovation, community research, outreach programs, government research, and joint ventures, which I certainly appreciate that we continue to do those, in providing accessible, high-quality higher education for the surrounding region and a growing number of students. But those things are happening whether we do this URA or not. We have already invested in streetcar and light rail to provide the development incentive for private businesses, as we heard, like the residence hall that is a private enterprise with another one planned. I believe there are two fundamental problems that need to be fixed or that I can't support this proposal on. One is the interpretation of blight in the proposal. I think it's very weak, and that same argument could be made for other areas of the city that have not yet had a turn at urban renewal. But secondly, and more importantly, the citizens and taxpayers of Portland are foregoing $60 million in taxes that would normally be redirected back to the general fund. And it's to benefit a purpose which is fundamentally the state's responsibility to fund, and one which benefits the whole region, not just the citizens and taxpayers of Portland. We're already cutting back to the bone in many of our service areas, like public safety, parks and transportation, and community involvement. And to do this, we're increasing the city debt at the expense of the general fund. Each year, less goes to the general fund and more goes to paying off this debt. And if you take the present value of the money lost from the city in foregone revenue over the life of the district, we only then gain in year 2046 $507,000. It doesn't make sense to strap current and future residents with that debt and reduction in city maintenance and city services. I do applaud PSU and what you are endeavoring to accomplish as a regional and state university. I believe you are already well on your way, if not there, in delivering what we need in that regard. My responsibility is to all the taxpayers of Portland to fund basic services in all 95 neighborhoods. And so while I appreciate both President Vivel and Chair Andrews and indeed Mayor Adams for leadership on this proposal, I must respectfully vote no.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank the majority of the council who's in support of this. I think that, and acknowledge the respectful disagreement with Commissioner Fritz. I think that Portlanders will look back on this day as a real watershed moment, a turning point in making a good university great. And, you know, I would say to NYU, New York University, look out, because that's PSU close on your heels in becoming the best urban university in North America. And that takes an investment. And I appreciate the comments that, you know, we can wait for the state government to figure itself out. And in the meantime, as PSU goes, so goes the city of Portland. We will molder, we will skate. We will continue to, you know, glow in the positive national attention that we get right now. But unless we're moving forward, unless we're innovating, unless we're investing in a better Portland constantly, then we're going to fall behind. Folks, we're just not a big enough population center to make it on the momentum of size alone. We have to be agile. We have to be fleet-footed. We have to be very strategic. And there are few panaceas in a person's life for that will ensure their success. In fact, there are none, but the one that comes closest is education and skills training. And while it's true for the individual, it is also true for a city and a region. And every time we make a smart strategic investment in education, especially higher education, we see huge payoffs. The $46 million of urban renewal investments in OHSU in its short time have leveraged over $400 million in other funds. And the money that we are putting on, that we are putting to work for the good of Portland State University and the University District will leverage a like amount, if not more. And together, these investments put real effort behind the platitudes of education is important. Well, if it's so important, you have to invest in it. And you have to make, as Commissioner Leonard said, sometimes some controversial decisions. But investment doesn't, you have to find the money, you have to invest it. So I want to thank members of council for that. I want to thank President Vivelle, I want to thank Chair Andrews, the great folks of the Portland Development Commission, the great team there, the great team at Portland State University that's been at this quite a while. I'd like to thank Peter Pariseau in my office, who's been working on this for a very long time. Again, this is an important day, not just for Portland State University. It's a very important day for the future health of this city. Aye. It's done. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Could I have 1 minute to
please
say something? I've written a couple of books on university real estate development in their cities, and one conclusion I walk away with from those books, because I talked about both projects that succeeded and projects that failed, that it's sort of a miracle anything ever gets done and built, because there's so many ways that things like this can go wrong. There are so many competing needs for any dollar that a public body allocates in any way, shape, or form. There are so many things that cities need that you can argue about. So I know how much perseverance it takes, and indeed courage it takes on the part of many people to make these things happen. So I really want to thank, of course, the mayor, the other members of the council, and I respect Commissioner Fritz's arguments, even as I disagree with them, but I appreciate your kind words about Portland State and look forward to continuing to work with you. Obviously, our colleagues at the Portland Development Commission who have done really so much of the work, and Chair Kogan and the people at the Portland Public Schools who have done a good job stepping up and providing the correct information, even in the face of so much misleading information. And again, I want to emphasize, and that's why it's good that Lindsay is here, because she herself has played a big role, but I think she also symbolizes the fact that we're only able to do this because of all the work that so many people, both in the city and at Portland State, have been doing over the past decades, really, that have made this university truly worthy of this support of the city, because it's the work of the faculty and the students and our staff that every day shows how higher education matters to this city, to the region, and to its economic prosperity. And I'm just fortunate to have been able to be here at this period with this mayor, with this council, to be able to bring it to this stage. And I can assure you that within the institution, there's going to be a lot of excitement about this, both for the substantive benefits that it will bring to allowing us to pursue our mission, but also because of the symbolic significance of this kind of a vote of support. So thank you all very, very much.
Thank you. All right. Give yourselves a round of applause. All right. Democracy moves on. Right. There is a 2 o'clock sign written. All right. Can we please read the title for the 2 o'clock time,
sir? Oh, Sam, I'm sorry. It's 1:30 now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Can you please read item number 533?
533, authorized application to the U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, Bureau of Justice Assistance, for a grant in the amount of $502,012 for the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistant Grant Program, fiscal year 2012, local solicitation to prevent or reduce crime and violence.
Hi, what are we looking at here?
Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Bob Delgizzi, Business Operations Manager with Portland Police Bureau. There are 3 items in front of you, 533, 534, and 535. They are related.
Do you want me to go ahead and read those other titles?
Please, thank you.
534, authorize an intergovernmental agreement with the City of Gresham for the use of U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, Bureau of Justice Assistance, fiscal year 2012, Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistant Grant Program funds to obligate agency roles and responsibilities. 535, authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County for the use of U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, Bureau of Justice Assistance, fiscal year 2012, Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistant Grant Program funds to obligate agency roles and responsibilities.
Police Bureau wishes to apply for the U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, Bureau of Justice Assistance, for the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant Program, FY12, local solicitation to prevent or reduce crime and violence. This public governing body review of the grant application and the related intergovernmental agreements in item 534 and 535 provides an opportunity for public commitment and involvement, which satisfies a solicitation requirement of the Justice Assistance Grant. The Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant Program fiscal year 2012 local solicitation funds will be made under disparate certification to the City of Portland, Multnomah County, and the City of Gresham. The Justice Assistance Grant solicitation requires the City to submit a joint application for the aggregate eligible allocation to all disparate municipalities and also to act as fiscal agent for the grant. Intergovernmental agreements must be executed with Multnomah County and the City of Gresham in order to obligate agency roles and responsibilities, and these are addressed in items 534 and 535 on this agenda. The aggregate amount of the Justice Assistance Grant solicitation is $502,012. There is no match requirement. The application is allocated as follows. The City of Portland will receive $246,539. Multnomah County will receive $193,707. And the City of Gresham will receive $67,766. Out of those awards, they'll be spent in the following ways. The Portland Police Bureau will use $246,539 in Justice Assistance Grant funding for the following 2 items. The first is to retain 1 FTE police lieutenant position for 12 months to ensure city compliance with outside audit recommendations and ensure Bureau compliance and documentation of internal review recommendations at a cost of $106,539. The second item is to contract with a local service provider to coordinate treatment, temporary housing, counseling, and training opportunities for individuals involved in prostitution-related offenses at a cost of $140,000. This will be a component of East Precinct's Prostitution Coordination Team, which is a multidisciplinary partnership that includes police, parole, and probation, the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office, and the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, as well as the local treatment providers. Multnomah County will use $193,707 in justice assistance grant funding for the following three items: to retain a 0.51 FTE of a neighborhood deputy district attorney for 12 months at a cost of $64,569, to retain 0.54 FTE position for a parole and probation officer for 12 months at a total cost of $64,569, and to retain one FTE corrections deputy for 5.8 months at a total cost of $64,569. Finally, the City of Gresham will use its $61,766 in justice assistance grant funding for one FTE police record specialist for a 12-month period. At this point, I can take any questions or if there's any public comment.
Questions from Council, Commissioner Seltzer.
So, and this is kind of a broader question you may not know the answer to, but the Prostitution Coordination Team, I know during our budget sessions, a couple of us were interested in the LifeWorks contract. And I know there was supposedly a shortfall in either JAG grants or something that the chief said he could make up that difference. So has that difference been made up?
At this point, it's my understanding, Mr. Mayor, that you're looking at some alternatives as well for some of the stopgap. This provides a portion of the period for that funding.
For the LifeWorks
contract. That is what the $140,000 would be used for.
So we still have a gap, but we still are working on it. This helps a lot.
So this is, but this does provide funding for on a fiscal year?
It is
less
a,
than maybe what we've anticipated at this point?
I think that's my understanding. Off the top of my head, it's like 20 a month, so this is 7 months worth.
Oh, this is for 7 months then.
Seven or 8 months, I believe. I can check and get back to you on that.
Okay.
We have, last I checked, we haven't found the money yet, but we continue to look for it, and we're definitely determined to find it.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Does anyone wish to testify on these matters?
No one signed up.
Carla, can you please start calling the votes?
533, Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Approved.
Thank you very much.
534, Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Approved.
535, Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Approved. Can you please read the title for item number 539?
Authorized contract with Moss Adams LLP in the amount of $1,745,842 for financial and federal compliance audits of the statements for the three fiscal years 2011 through 12, through 2013 through 14, and other professional services.
Hi, what are we looking at here?
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Drummond Kahn, the Director of Audit Services in the City Auditor's Office. With me is Fiona Earle, a Principal Management Auditor and Contract Manager from our office, and Larry Palat from Procurement Services. We're here today to ask your authorization of the contract with our independent accounting firm of Moss Adams LLP in the amount of $1.7 million for financial and financial federal compliance audits of financial statements for the three fiscal years 11, 12 through 13, 14, as well as other professional services. These audits are required by state law, city charter, as well as federal law, and this simply enables the conduct of those financial audits. Happy to answer any questions.
Discussion from council. Does anyone? Yep.
Is this, was this conducted on a qualifications-based selection process per city code?
Yes. No, sir. This is not a qualifications-based selection process. This was a standard RFP process.
Okay. Well, yeah. RFP. So it was done.
Well, there's new rules about the qualification-based.
Oh, okay.
Really certain.
I guess what I meant was we did do an RFP.
Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. We did. Okay, yes, sir. Great. We did.
A low bid.
And you had a selection committee with three public members of the public. Were there any minority representatives on the committee?
Yes.
Yes.
Those three members of the public were from the Minority Evaluators Program.
Great. Thank you.
Same amount we spent last year?
Actually,
a little bit more.
Yeah, the contract level is a little higher this year. There are 10 federal items or 10 items to be determined. So the first year is a little more steep than the second 2 years when we're only actually testing 6 separate items.
Okay. All right. Does anyone wish to testify on this matter?
No one else signed up.
Can you please call the vote?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Thank you. Aye.
Thank you.
So approved. Can you please read the title for the item pulled off of consent?
Item 512, accept a grant in the amount of $100,000 from the Oregon Office of Emergency Management, Military Department, Fiscal Year 2011, State
Aye.
Homeland Security Grant Program for the implementation of state and local homeland security strategies.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor. Commissioners.
Thank you for your patience. What are we looking at here?
I'm Josh Goldschmidt. I'm a sergeant with Portland Police Bureau and currently the chief pilot for the Police Bureau's Air Support Unit. Mm-hmm. This is a request for your approval to accept a grant that would purchase a microwave downlink receiver and an additional transmitter. The Air Support Unit currently operates 2 aircraft, one of which is already outfitted with a microwave downlink transmitter. That transmits video from a camera system on the airplane to one of, I think there are now 10 hardware receivers in the region. The Portland Police Bureau has 5, one in each of our mobile command posts, and then 3 handhelds. The Fire Bureau has 1 in Mobile Command 9, and then some of our other regional partners have additional receivers as well. The difficulty is that you have to have one of those receivers and have line of sight access to the aircraft in order to receive the signal. And be able to view the video. This receiver that we've applied for the grant for would be mounted up at Council Crest, would give us line of sight to Council Crest with almost a 50 to 70 mile radius from the tower. That video would then be moved to a video server and access would be available online, basically, so that decision makers from any agency, regardless of whether they have the physical piece of hardware, could have access to that video.
Just one question. So, for the planes up in the air, you need line of sight to a microwave tower?
We need, for the person receiving the video, they need line of sight from the receiver to the aircraft. So, for example, that's very easy to do on a CERT call-out, on a tactical call-out, where the users of the video are in a very small area and the aircraft is orbiting the event. It's not easy to do. For example, several months ago, we flew up to the Bull Run watershed to look at a possible landslide that happened up there that created a pretty significant turbidity incident. We have room for one person in the aircraft, so we brought one person from the Water Bureau. It would have been much more beneficial to have many of the decision makers from the Water Bureau sitting in an office looking at the live video feed and able to talk to us about what they needed to see or what they wanted to look at. Council Crest has line of sight to the majority of those areas. And so installing a receiver there, these receivers are very expensive, so to continue outfitting people with them endlessly just doesn't make any financial sense. This particular receiver just allows us to open up the opportunity to multiple end users through internet access.
And so actually, just following up on the Bull Run. So is Bull Run line of sight to Council Crest?
Large parts of it are, yes.
Okay, thanks.
So how does the information gathered, how is that compliant with the Oregon law saying that we have to have a reasonable suspicion before we do surveillance on people?
Well,
if you're in an airplane, you're surveilling a huge area, right?
Yes. But I guess if you use the term surveillance, quite often what we are doing is, for example, the Bull Run Reservoir is, I don't know that anybody would categorize that as surveillance on people. We're looking at in this particular case, looking for landslides. So,
but it's from Homeland Security. So
it is.
It could be used for surveillance overhead?
It could be used for surveillance. That's occurring anyway. This is allowing us to distribute basically the work product to a larger audience.
And is there a written policy on who gets to see that and when?
There is not yet. Once the system is up and running and we've identified the issues with how access to the video is going to be given, then there will be a policy in place.
So I know we had that discussion with the Mayor Adams with the cameras in Old Town, and we're still waiting for that policy. Might this be something that could be combined with that?
Yep.
And is there a reason that we have to vote on this today?
Are we on a deadline?
I do not believe that there is an immediate deadline for the spending of. The answer is no. No, I think the money has to be spent by 2013.
Okay.
Thank
well,
you.
We can hold it over to the same day we're holding over the indemnity issue. And between now and then, we have an emerging general order on the use of and handling of surveillance tape.
So one thing that I would clarify about this is the video itself, the air support unit already has a policy on how we handle recordings from what we see, and that was done through the auditor's office. So we have a policy that says how long we retain those records. And then, for example, records such as things like protests, the police bureau doesn't retain those. They go to the city attorney's office. So this doesn't change that per se, because nobody at the receiving end is going to have the ability to. Well, I shouldn't say that. The police bureau, we will still continue to follow that policy in what we record and what we don't record.
Thank you. So I'd like to see that policy.
Okay.
Thank you.
That'd yeah, be very I can. Helpful. I can get that.
Right. I think the the general order will potentially update and add more details to that that the chief's working on, which he'll be making is. I think there'll be a draft out soon, next couple days, for review.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone wish to testify in this matter?
We have two people.
Please come forward. Thanks for your patience.
Okay. Good morning, afternoon, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. Thank you for the time on the agenda today for this issue. I had pulled it from the consent agenda just to get a little bit more information about what the item was, what's happening now.
Becky, would you state your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. Becky Strauss, ACLU of Oregon. What a microwave downlink system is and what that is different from what we do today. So I appreciate the detail that the officer was able to provide. I just wanted to kind of frame this, and we're neutral on this item. Again, my objective today was to have the discussion, and I would just reiterate, as we've talked about with the surveillance cameras, as we see each of these new technologies come into play, new tools or progress, it's really easy to view them piecemeal and to easily justify each new thing as helpful in the limited context that it's intended for. And piece by piece, I think that we can justify those things. And I'm here to ask you, as the council, as keepers of these new tools and the body elected to protect Portlanders, to think about them comprehensively and in a long-term view toward privacy. And so toward that end, I do appreciate the comments already from Commissioner Fritz about how this relates to the surveillance camera issue. And we are waiting and hope to have some input on the draft policy that's worked on right now with the Bureau. If we can work in this issue, kind of take on a bit more of a comprehensive view about these new technologies and what does this mean about what's the difference and who's accessing them and when are they used, all those types of things, would very much like to see a restrictive policy from the Bureau and from the Council on their use. So that's all I have this morning, and just thank you for the time and thank you for the discussion on the issue.
Mr. Handelman.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. I'm very glad the ACLU pulled this off the consent agenda for a discussion. We share concerns about the possibility of using these cameras for inappropriate purposes. And I think that, like the surveillance camera, I was kind of surprised to hear the officer say that there's a satellite downlink in one of the two planes already, which means they should have a policy in place already about how to use it, and they apparently don't.
No, they do.
But you were describing creating a new policy about how, and he was describing creating a new policy.
No, I'll give you more time, but Mr. Handelman, he described that there is a policy about retention and what you do with the...
No, about retention, but not about how to use them, not about what you're pointing
I'll give
the
you more time, I promise.
I understand.
But how they're used and how the tapes are kept. So we are using this as an opportunity to look at the bigger pictures, but I don't, there is a policy, and it is guided by state law and court actions.
All right. Well, it would be helpful for the public if those policies were made available online so that we can look at them. I've looked up the aircraft use policy in the directives manual, and as the sergeant already hinted at, found out that their airplanes are regularly used on crowd control, protest marches, and demonstrations, which is a bit of concern since those aren't necessarily reasonable suspicion of criminal activity just by holding such an event. I should point out it actually says crow control in the directive, so maybe there are some bird problems at the demonstrations. I don't know. But that's directive number 600.00, by the way, if you want to look those up for yourselves. But, you know, this is being put under the Department of Homeland Security, as was mentioned. It's we talked about disaster relief. We talked about things that happened up at Bull Run. But there are a lot of other things that could be used for surveillance of identified problem locations or people is one of the authorized uses of air support right now. Problem, to me, is not the same definition as suspicion of criminal activity. It just says problem. It doesn't seem to have any kind of legal definition that I know of. So there's already concerns about the existing program, but we've never had a chance to have this public discussion, and Portland has two airplanes. Luckily, we don't have a helicopter. When that was recommended by the Police Assessment Resource Center, people in the community said we don't want to look like Los Angeles and have helicopters flying over our neighborhood, so we don't have that, but we do have these two airplanes, and I'm glad we're having the opportunity to talk about how they're going to be used. I think I did notice this airplane circling around overhead on May Day, and I don't know what they were taking pictures of or how long those pictures are being retained. And the officer, the sergeant said they're turning it over to the city attorney's office. To me, that's an end run around the law that says that law enforcement can't collect or maintain information on stuff that is not criminally suspect. Again, I also support what the ACLU said about as we get these more technologies, we really have to be concerned about how they're going to be used and what the possible unintended consequences are of using video surveillance and who might have them. And I also just the sergeant mentioned, he said that the Bureau is not going to be able to record the signals that are coming down on the Internet, but he was very cautious not to say that nobody could do that. So it is possible that somebody else watching on a remote station could record these and then use them for whatever purpose.
Anything else? All right. Thank you both very much. Appreciate your patience. We'll hold this over to be heard on the same agenda as the
May 30th.
May 30th. So unless there are objections, so then, let's see. Do we have anything else?
Nope.
All right. And do we have until tomorrow night?
2 o'clock.
So 2 o'clock today. All right. See you all at 2 o'clock. Enjoy your break.
You're so generous.
You'll hold down the fort for us.